Morning, church. Good to be here this morning. I'm glad that all of you are here. Visitors, thank you for coming our way. If this is your first time being with us, thank you so much for choosing Mock Haven Baptist Church to come and worship at this morning. It is our privilege to have you here with us this morning. If you are a returning visitor, thank you for being here as well. And of course, all of our regular folks, we're so glad that you're here. What a wonderful time we've had in the Lord already. Choir, you sounded great. Youth choir, you sounded wonderful as well. And appreciate the playing of the instruments this morning. Listen, I saw some spots up there that could use some people in them. So if you have the ability to sing and would like to be a part of the choir, get with Brother Jim and ask him about it. And we'd love to have you play an instrument. If you play a harp or a violin or a viola or quarter or flute or something, why don't you let Brother Jim know and we can work you into that. All it takes is you to be faithful to practice and be at your place during practice. That's important to be part of that, to prepare yourself for that opportunity. Looking forward to next week. We're going to have a wonderful time here at the Lord at our homecoming celebration, 64-year anniversary here at the church. And bring something to eat to share. We'll put it all together and have a meal next week after the morning service. If you want or would like to sing a special that day, there's still opportunity. Let me or my wife know today. We're finishing out the scale of things that will go on that day, and we need to know. We don't want to leave anybody out. Also, remember, there will be an opportunity for testimonies to give praise for you to stand and say thank you to the Lord for all He's done for you. So make preparations for that. I'm letting you know now so you're not put on the spot. So that's next week. Looking forward to that. And glad to have the opportunity to fellowship with you today in the Lord's house. Let's see. Let's do a couple of trivia questions. Let's start over here on this side. This woman was barren, but when God answered her prayer for a child, she dedicated her newborn son's life to God's work. Anybody?
Hannah.
That's it. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Let's go over here. Let's see. Who was the brave and beautiful queen who saved her people from death? Yes, Bianca? Esther. Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 4, and chapter 9, verse 5. I'll give you all that information. We will get right into the Word of God this morning. Matthew chapter number 9. Have visited with us. Some folks just come right off a mission trip. They're down here on front. They're friends with Brother Dwayne Chase. Just come back and visited with him. So we're glad they're here with us this morning. Looking forward, Brother Chase, getting back here a little bit into this month so we can get to working back on the press and getting it fixed. He has a gentleman lined up out of West Virginia that's going to come down. And if he doesn't work out or is able to, Brother Carl Price has a line on another gentleman that may be able to come help us as well. So praying that we will get this problem worked out on the press so we can get back to putting God's Word. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse 36, we'll begin reading there. When we get to verse number 37, let's all read verse 37 together and I'll finish at verse 38. We'll begin in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, what a passage to start November's message with this morning. We're going to talk about what compassion the Lord had. What compassion the Lord had. Now, what is compassion? Compassion means that I have a pity that's brought about by the distress of somebody else. It's their misfortune that moves me. It's their troubles that move me. It's not my own. Too many times we are overwhelmed by our own troubles. Do we have troubles? Sure we do. Are they real? Yes, they are. They're as real as the next person's troubles. But I will tell you, dear friend, when Christ looked down at multitudes of people, He was always moved by their troubles. He was distressed by their misfortunes. He had sympathy on others. And guess what He was looking forward to? Scourgings. Crown of thorns. He was looking forward to hanging on a cross naked in shame. He had troubles. Yes, He did. But He looked down through all of that and He saw the misfortunes of others. And so I think if we look at this and look at the life of Christ and what compassion He had, first we notice that His compassion was it was willing to touch the world. It was willing to touch someone else. It was willing to look beyond His own problems and His own concerns and look to others. And look over in Mark chapter 1 and verse 41. The Bible says, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean." He touched someone. He reached down. There's a song that's been sung and it's called "A World We Never Touch." Here's the chorus. Listen to the chorus. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? We hide behind these walls and the security of our friends, while beyond the stained glass windows, the world is lost in sin. Compassion. What compassion? I'll tell you first, dear friend, if you're going to have compassion on this world, you're going to have to be willing to touch this world. I'm not talking about become this world. I'm not talking about living in this world as part of this world. I'm talking about being touched by people's lives. You're looking at their troubles, their compassion, their problems, and their difficulties. And you're looking at their life, and you're willing to get involved in their life. You're willing to reach out and to have their problems come into your life, and you carry their burdens for a little while. Compassion. Jesus looked out at the multitudes and had compassion on them. He looked out at this gentleman there in Mark chapter 1, and He was willing to reach out, moved in so much compassion to touch that person. And listen, we need to be careful that we do it with pure motives. You know, Brother Peter, so many times people do things because others are watching. They're moved with the compassion because somebody else is looking at them. We need to be careful to have compassion with the right motives. You know, that's a false compassion. That's hypocrisy. We're only really concerned that somebody else saw us do something. We need to have the right motives. Well, listen, we need to be careful that we care for others and give to others and to help others without ever expecting anything back in return. Boy, so many times we want to do something, but it's so that we can catalog it back, so that we can pull out our little wallet and we say, we write down a little note and we poke it back there in the back. And boy, I'm glad I was able to do that so that I could pull that out and cash it in down the road. You know what the Bible says in the book of Acts? It's more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give. And not only financially, dear friend, it's more blessed to give of yourself than to receive. Because I'm telling you, dear friend, that if you look at it this way, if you are able to give and you're able to reach out and help, you're able to give of yourself of whatever manner it is, whether it's your abilities, whether it's your finances, or just whether it's maybe just an ear to listen to the problems that they have. Listen, you're in a better state than they're in. That one receiving, dear friend, they're in need. And I don't know about you, I'd be much rather be in the place where I would be willing and able and capable of giving than being on the receiving end. Let me help you out. Don't be too proud to receive either. There's some folks that they're just so proud. They just stand in their needs. And I'm doing without, and I don't have. And they just stand there. Dear friend, that's just as bad as having too much pride. Be willing to receive if you need help. Be willing to accept that help if you need it. Be willing to show people Christ and the love of Christ. Why? Because He had great compassion on the multitudes, and He had great compassion on you. So first of all, I tell you that if we're going to have the compassion of Christ, we're going to have the compassion that is willing to reach out into this world and to be touched by this world. You say, "Oh, preacher, I can't do it. It's just impossible." Oh yeah, you can. Look over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter number 2. And verse number 20, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." When you get down to it, dear friend, it's not you. It's Christ living in you, through you, the hope of glory. And if Christ was willing to leave all of heaven's riches and all of heaven's glory, come down to this earth and to be around lepers, be around deaf people, be around people who had issues of blood, be around people who was hungry. They followed Him out into the pastures, into the hills to hear Him without even concern for their own food. And He was willing to be around people who had a need and had compassion moved upon them and fed them and cared for them and healed them. It's not I, it's Christ that does it through me. The life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith. By Christ. By Him alone. Not only that, dear friend, we need to get to the point where we have compassion that is understanding. Sometimes we are so blessed. And not sometimes, all the time we're blessed. Brother Jackson, we are blessed. Sometimes we're so caught up in our blessings that when we actually see somebody in need, see somebody without doing and hurting, we're so cynical almost to the point that we have no understanding of their state. I mean, after all, it's their own fault. You're exactly right. Most of the time, the problems people end up in is their own fault. Bad choices. Bad decisions. Not understanding that the decision they made at 18 will affect them at 36. Not understanding that the decision you make at 28 will have some effect on you at 41. We have to have compassion of understanding that, yes, it's their fault, but how much of our problem is our fault? And have that understanding. Look over in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 again. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We need to get to the point, dear friend, that we see through the eyes of Christ. That we see people as Christ saw them. They fainted. They were as sheep having no shepherd. Listen to this here, chorus of this song. It says, all those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. We look out at this world and we have no care or concern, no understanding of where they're at. It's all about me. It's like I live on an island of one. Let me help you. Get in your rowboat. Get your canoe off the back of your truck and get out into this world and row where they are rowing for just a minute. Let your eyes, just for a second, see as Christ sees. With understanding. Seeing through the eyes the sick and hurt of this world. The lonely, the ones that are bereaved. Seeing the ones that marriages is about to just break apart. Yes, you may have a good marriage. Praise God. But next week you might not. There's plenty. Broken and hurting. We need to see through the eyes of Christ with some understanding and some compassion. And Jesus understood where they was at. He saw that they were fainting. Do we actually look out and see the loneliness of people in this world? The hurt. The pain. Have you ever for one moment place your feet in the shoes of the misfortune? I'm not talking about scammers. I'm not talking about those who get over on society. I'm not talking about those that are using and abusing. I'm talking about people who are really hurting. People who are really in need. Can we look for a moment with compassion? Look over in Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 14. Matthew 14:14, the Bible says, and Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude. And was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. You know, there's a lot of times that I deal with people that I have no idea the situation that they're in. I have not experienced it. I have not gone down that road. I have not been on that path of life. But I know somebody who has been on that path, who can correct their path, who can bring them back into a solid foundation. And if Christ is willing to leave the 99 and go after the lost sheep, dear friend, who am I to say, Lord, don't use me to reach them? Because I really don't understand where they're at. Lord, I'm not available today because I've never had a broken marriage, so I'm not available to help. Lord, don't use me. Now, listen, Lord, if they can't catch fish, I can show them how to put the hook, worm on the hook. You can use me for that. Lord, if they can't run some electrical wire, I'm capable of doing that, and I'll help them do that. We need to say, Lord, here am I. I'm available, and I'm not capable, but Lord, you are well able and well capable to heal broken hearts. And use me in whatever capacity you choose to use me. Can I help you out with something? God desires to use you to be a help to other people. And not necessarily the ones you want to help. It's the ones that He desires to use you to help. And with understanding, listen, what did God, we didn't live in a life of sin and there wasn't trouble on every hand. But unfortunately, that is where we're at. Listen, our church is made up of people that are cut from rough lumber. I don't know of one in our midst that I have not spent time with or been around and counseled with and talked with that does not have some kind of problem. Amen. Even the best of the best of the best has problems in their life. Sometimes we look at people and say, man, look up, they got it all together. I mean, they've got it straight. Even those who we think have it all together has problems. We need to have some understanding with people. Some compassion. And when people do fall and they get hurt and they mess up their life, that we're there with the balm of Gilead to help put things back together. In a good way, in good fashion. In understanding, willing to be touched. Listen, I don't know how many times my wife and I, we've had to go visit with someone, a couple, and, you know, marriage is funny. It just is. 27 years of this stuff, and I'm still just dragging along by God's grace. But we've gone to places and we've talked and had conversation and counsel and talked with people about the problems that they're having and tried to show them and love them with all sincerity to show them that God is well able to fix whatever is the problem. And my wife and I will leave and we'll say, only by God's grace that we're not there. It's not that we figured it out. I'll be honest with you, 27 years of this, I have not figured it out. Some of you have been married half a century. And maybe if you figured it out, a different, you need to write down a book and publish it. And publish it in a way like it's the cartoon characters in the news comic. Don't write too deep. I mean, put Garfield there in one box and put Miss Garfield in another box with a skillet and put little Garfield over there and say, ah! I mean, make it real simple because, listen, marriage is difficult. Amen. Brother Johnson, there are times to say amen. And there are times to leave it alone. Just say, go on, preacher. Stick with the book. So we got to have compassion that is willing to touch people, be touched. Listen, it breaks my heart to see teenagers arguing and bickering with their parents. But it don't do any good if I go hide in the corner when I can offer some support of some sort. Does it touch me? Yes, but I have to be willing to be touched by their problems. With understanding that, hey, my kids aren't perfect and they mess up too. We have our problems and our situations as well. And I'm telling you this, not only willing to be touched by the problems and with understanding, but have compassion that is not subdued by fear. I mean, we could accomplish so much more if we would just say, listen, I don't know how to handle this. I'm afraid to handle this, but Lord, here I go. Sometimes I think we just stay back because we're afraid. Tell me if I'm wrong. Don't raise your hands and don't bring attention to yourself, but has there ever been a situation where you had been around a friend, a family, they were going through something, and you knew what you wanted to say, but you was afraid to open your mouth? What do we call it? Walking on eggshells or something like that? Walk around on eggshells and thin ice, or we're like a cat on a tin roof. You're scared to move because you got. Have you ever been there? And you didn't say anything because you were afraid. And 2 or 3 weeks later, it got worse. And you could have offered some word of encouragement, but because you was afraid, just that fear overcame you. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Your silence many times makes the situation worse. Now, I'm careful to say that because we have to be harmless as doves. And why is a servant harmless as doves? Because so many times we think for some reason that we're like Dr. Phil's twin. Like we're, the next Oprah up and coming. If anybody has problems, dear friend, we just jump out and give our advice. Unsolicited advice that I've ever given has never helped anything. Never. Maybe you're the sum of all wisdom, and every time you speak, you're like, yeah, but everybody listen. And just straightens out everything. There's some steps to helping people. First of all, step one is be spiritual. Ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one as fall. And then you pray and you ask God for a wisdom that He may speak through you. And if it's feeling good to your flesh to say it, it probably isn't God. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times I'd sign a paper. No, I'm not going to say that. I'll say it like this. There's times in my walk with God when I've dealt with people that there's been times I would have paid somebody to chew them out for me. Because they did need a chewing out, but it felt good to the flesh. And the chewing out wasn't right. So Lord, help me. So Lord, talk through me. And when they ask for help, and they come to you for help, listen, dear friend, let it be biblical.
Amen.
Even if it makes them mad.
Right.
Because there's a lot of folks come, they want help. What they want is for you to bless their life. What they need is the Word of God shared with them. In a way that will help them. So, well, man, I've tried that before. Boy, it didn't work out too well. It may have not worked out too well then because they're carnal and in the flesh. But we drop that seed. Perhaps that seed will find some good ground. Take root. And the Word of God will root out and dig down and plow up and break up that foul ground in that heart and soften up and make things come alive again because of Christ. It's not by fear. Don't just step back because of fear. Compassion never, ever falters. Never. If it's Christ's compassion. Fourth thing we're going to look at. Have compassion that is willing to be touched. Have compassion that understands that there only by the grace of God goes out. Have compassion enough that says, fear, you're not subduing. I'm going to help. I'm going to help. You're not going to do this. And then fourth thing, Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. It's right after Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Have the understanding that God's compassion and compassion of Christ through your life can never, ever be defeated. Look what it says here in Lamentations 3 and verse 22. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Compassion, just like faith, brings victory. Just like faith brings victory. Hey, listen, it comes from God, and if it comes from God, it never fails. Never. It's undefeated. The Lord is full of compassion. The Bible says there, His mercy endureth forever. Through prayer, through concern, through effort, through love, through Christ, we can make a difference in the life of those around us. But it starts with compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is being moved by somebody else's trouble enough to be used of God, enough to have understanding through their situation. How many of you ever counseled or talked with somebody, gave some advice that somebody come and they ask you and they didn't heed your advice? That's life. You can't get mad at it. You just understand. Lord, I told them what Your Word said. Lord, I had compassion on the situation. Lord, now I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to move myself out of the way and allow You to do what I cannot do. Compassion. Troubled by somebody else. Lord, give me Your eyes. Even if it's just for a second. Lord, that I might see their problems. Lord, Inside these church walls, I'm safe. Around the security of my friends, Lord, I'm okay, and I can stand strong. But Lord, the problem is, it's outside those walls where people are lost in sin. Give me compassion. Go back to our text verse, and we're closing. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 36. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And friend, everything we do for Christ. We are his laborers. It is his harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous. Pray us, Lord, send me. And send me with the compassion of Christ. Let's stand our feet. This morning, I don't know where you stand with God. I do know that the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. God had compassion on this whole world and gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Dear friend, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. This morning, because of God sending his Son, and Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, and rising again that third day, if any man, boy or girl or lady, put faith and trust in him, God says, you shall be saved. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's a good day to come to the Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Church member, Christian, saint of God, this old world has roughed you up, made bunions all over you, where you have no compassion anymore. Today, I'd ask you, listen to the Holy Spirit of God as he whispers. Come, let us reason together. Come, let me give you the compassion that you once had, once again, afresh and anew, because my mercies endure forever. I ask you to come use these old altars. Lord, I need compassion. Lord, I see lost people and I'm not even bothered. Lord, I see families getting destroyed and ate up and consumed by this old world and the devil. And that don't even bother me. I'm running this rat race, just myself and I. Lord, help me to see people as Christ sees.